morning, this message was very clear to me, and I wanted to know what direction the Lord wanted to go, but there's a hole in my pocket.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Pray together with me. Lord, thank you for our time together, and Lord, we feel your presence in the house, and we thank you for that, and thank you for being with us. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you that we come into that presence as we've been talking about, and thank you for the faith that you have given to us. Increase our faith, God, in you, to trust in you. And we'll give you the thanks for it. In Jesus' name, God's people said amen. 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 And you guys out there watching on video land, internet land, say amen. All right. I hear you, Brother Rick. I know he's watching out there. So, all right. This morning, I have an interesting message that the Lord has put upon my heart today. How many of you ever sang children's songs? I know Laura has. Or what's called nursery rhymes. You know, Laura's big on nursery rhymes, being a kindergarten teacher. And so as the grandchildren would come over to our house, she had all the books, you know, to read to them. And Madison would say to me, "Papa, I want you to read to me." So as I was reading through some of those books, I didn't like the way they ended. So I changed them. Surprise, huh? Humpty Dumpty. What happened to Humpty Dumpty? He fell off the wall, and all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty back together again. So I added a page or two onto that. And the kids never knew any different because they couldn't read. So I would get to that point and say, "Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and the king's men couldn't put him back together again. So the soldiers and some of the people from the church came and laid hands on him. And God healed Humpty again and put him back up on the wall." Probably today, if you ask Madison, she would say that's the way it went. But I had a song that was rolling around in my head, my heart, my spirit all week. And I thought, what is this? This is really strange. It was a kid's song, and you might have heard it. It's called "There's a Hole in My Pocket." There was a kid's book out there. Laura, do you remember that one? "There's a hole in my pocket, fix it," something like that. "There's a hole in my pocket." Maybe I got a different tune, but the words were very clear to me. "There's a hole in my pocket." So I looked it up, and that there actually is, there's a booklet, a kid's book. It's called "There's a Hole in My Pocket." And there's this little elephant. He's got a hole in his pocket, Marty. And he's like, "I got to fix this hole." So he says, "What do I do about it?" And as the elephant goes around, well, you need some needle and you need some thread. And you need to have this to fix it and that to fix it. And at the end of the book, it goes like this. "Where do I put all these things that I've collected to fix my pocket?" And they say, "Put it in your pocket." And he said, "But there's a hole in my pocket." Some of you are looking at me like, I've never heard this before in my life. Yes, you have, because I just told it to you, okay? Get a hold of the book. You'll see that I'm telling the truth, all right? It actually is a book by Akemi Gibson. So if you're looking that up and you want some good reading material, look that up. You guys are all laughing at me. He has lost it in 2024. We want Pastor Aaron back, right? John, that's enough, okay? All right. But there's also, and I didn't know this because I'm not a country music fan, but there is a song out there in the country song called Hole in My Pocket. Anybody ever heard that one before? All right. Oh, David has. Now, here's the lyrics. I gave you the lyrics to the kids, one. I'm going to give you part of the lyrics to the country song. It goes like this. I've got a hole in my pocket, and my money just runs on through. Anyone here found that you have a hole in your pocket? It's awful quiet. Never made it to his pocket, he said. For those of you out in internet land listening to this, D took it all before it got to his pocket, right? Yeah. This morning, this message was very clear to me, and I wanted to know what direction the Lord wanted to go, but there's a hole in my pocket. And somehow the Lord used a kid's song to bring back to me, wherever I had heard it before, that this title is for us today and for us to pay attention to. Father, I thank you for this word, and use me as your servant to deliver this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we get into the Word of God here, there are several questions that I want to ask regarding this hole in my pocket and finding monies disappearing out of your pocket. Now, and it almost seems like there's a hole in my pocket, and I've heard many people over my lifetime saying, you know what, I don't know where my money is going. It just disappears. And I've also heard churches and pastors talk about this, and church-going people talk about, well, we don't know what's happened to the church monies. We don't know where they have gone, what has happened to them. And I will submit to you today that unless we adhere to the principles of the Word of God, our money will disappear through our pockets, through a hole in our pockets. And so this morning, and this wasn't planned out where I say, you know, every year at the beginning of the year, I'm going to preach a message on money. But it's what the Lord laid upon my heart, and I think it's important for us to understand this, because God has a plan for money. And God has a plan for believers and money. Now, I don't have a lot of time to discover all of these things about money, but I am going to touch on some of these things. So when we talk about money falling through the pocket and going away, the question comes in at this. The very first question that I like to ask is it God's will for us to have holes in our pockets? The little bear running around, and he just keeps losing things out of his pocket. Now, it was kind of funny because today we were in the back there right before service, and there was a little piece. I lost it, couldn't find it. Did you find it? It's gone. Anybody ever have that happen to you where you put something down, you just had it, and it's gone? That's one of the mysteries of life. You know? It's like, where did it go? But is it God's will for us to have holes in our pockets? Well, let's see what the Word of God has to say about it as we begin. I've actually got five questions here that I'm going to ask, and we're going to discover through Scripture. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37... and we're going to be in Psalms and Proverbs, so just kind of hold your finger back there as we deal with a lot of these issues here today. Psalm 37, verse 23. One of my favorite portions of Scripture is this. I have a lot of favorites, but this one in particular, Marty, is a favorite of mine. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. All right, first of all, understand God delights in the steps of a good man. Those that are righteous, following righteousness, God delights in that. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I love this. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. So what does that tell us about the child of God? Should they be begging for bread? Absolutely not. Should they be forsaken of the things that they have daily needs of? Absolutely not. Should they have holes in their pocket where money is just flowing out and gone? He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. His seed is blessed. We have to know what God's heart is. It is not the will of God that money disappears out of our pockets. Now, we studied this actually on Wednesday night, not too long ago in Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And this is a portion of Scripture that we broke down on Wednesday night. And it was hard to figure out when we look at Paul. But in Colossians chapter 2, I want you to look at this verse. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you or trick you or send you off in another path of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. I want to stop just there in those two things. Now, this is not talking about that we need to worship angels. For those of you that were there on Wednesday night, this is talking about there are individuals that in churches that will insist, and false teachers insist on things like in this worshiping of angels and what is called voluntary humility. In other words, you must be humble and you must be poor to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You need to humble yourself and have nothing. Paul says that's the kind of teaching that is against the Word of God. So he says, do not do that and don't be swayed by that. There are a lot of Christians over my time of being in ministry that they have come up to me and say, you know, God doesn't want us to have anything. He wants us to be poor. That keeps us humble. Does that line up with what we just read in the book of Psalms? Absolutely, it does not. I tell you who wants you to be poor and have money slipping out is Satan himself. You want to know why? Because if you have nothing in your pocket, then you have nothing to bless others with. Well, is that the only amen I can get? Come on now. It is not God's will. The answer is no to that. And no to that God wants us poor. Number two question. So how do we get holes in our pockets then? And I'm going to add this, as believers. You know, there's a lot of believers that have holes in their pockets. We know it's not God's will, but how does that happen? How does it happen that I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but yet I seem to keep losing everything? Well, there's a purpose for that. And I have written down several of these things, and I want you to write these down because we don't ever want to go here. We don't ever want to allow Satan to steal from us. And there are Christians that are doing this, and some of them unknowingly say, I wonder why I never have anything. Why am I always poor? Why am I always broke? Now, I'm not saying that we need to be millionaires, but I do not believe that God wants us to be poor walking around with nothing, because then we have no resources to bless others. And we know the Word of God says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who thought not on the things of himself, but on the things of others, to be able to give. And again, you know, the argument comes from some people, well, you know, Jesus was poor. Was Jesus poor? He absolutely was not. Jesus had a treasurer in his group, Pastor Aaron. His name was Judas, Judas Iscariot. And Judas was stealing from the purse the whole time. But yet there was always enough. Always enough. So what are some of the reasons that Christians get holes in their pocket? Number one, I put down not honoring the Lord with what they have. Proverbs chapter 3, told you to hold your finger over in there. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Here's what he says. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. Can I read that again? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Does this sound like God wants us to be poor and have nothing in the way of finances? So this really is talking about finances here when he says to honor the Lord with your substance, with everything that you have. In other words, how do I honor the Lord with what I have? With my substance. Substance means that's which I have acquired. Honoring the Lord with that substance means that whenever the Master has need of it, it is available for him. There are many Christians that say, what is mine, and you're not going to have it. I won't let anybody else use it because it's mine. And the church might have a need, and you have that which would provide the need, but you say, nope, that's mine. You're not going to use it because I want to make sure it stays in good shape and nothing happens to it. You know, one thing that I'm blessed with is that I have people that understand this concept. And when there is a need, and I have a need of something, if I have a need of a tool or whatever the case, Marty's right there and says, here, I got this, use it. Because he's learned a principle, this is not mine. God has provided this for my use, my substance. Let's honor the Lord with whatever it is that we have. If we have a car and someone doesn't have a car, can we bless someone with giving them rides? Absolutely we can. Honor the Lord with your substance. And now the next thing is with the first fruit of your increase. Do you understand what that means? And this is where many believers get robbed from Satan. The first fruit means that which is off of the top. You give God your very best, and you give Him that with a joyful heart. You don't give God what's left over. And this is where we come, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this, the tithe and your offerings. Many Christians say, well, I'm going to pay all my bills first, then if I got anything left, I'll give God what's left. How do you think God feels about that? He's already said, when you give of the first fruit, give God your first fruit. And that's why one of the practices that I have always done And when Laura and I got married, I said, this is the practice that we will do when we sit down to pay our bills. God gets His first. He gets His first. Well, Pastor, what if we don't have enough? God's got some promises here that He gives us. So, and the promise really is that so will your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Honor the Lord. All right, so we talked about tithing here. Now I want you to go over to the book of Malachi. Hold your finger there. We'll probably come back to Proverbs again. But the book of Malachi, and most of us know this, but I want us to just revisit this again, because this is how we get holes in our pockets. Malachi chapter 3. Will a man rob God? Verse 8. Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation has. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me. That means test me on this. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there is not enough room for you to receive it. And we all like that, right? Okay, that's the tithing principle. Now, there's a lot of people, and I'll go a little bit further here in the tithing. Say, a lot of people have trouble with tithing. They say, well, that's Old Testament. I will agree that it is Old Testament. But the principles of God never go away. They just don't. We look in the New Testament, given it shall be given to you, good measure pressed down, shaken together, shall God cause men to give unto your bosom. Listen, the point is here, we give God out of the first fruits. And really, the first fruit is the tithe. It is the tithe off of the top. I know a lot of Christians, they get just a little hole in their pocket because they say, you know what, I'm going to tithe only on what my net is. Some people say, well, I didn't know there was an issue with that. Let me see. You're giving the government theirs right off of the top, aren't you? Well, some of you say, well, not on purpose. They're just taking it, right? But they get theirs. And then all the insurances and everything else come out. And whatever's left, then God, I'll give you 10% of that. When God says, bring the first fruit, that which is off the top. Well, I could never do that. You know how many Christians will argue with me and say, I could never do that because then I won't have enough. What does this promise tell you? This is where we step out on faith and believe what the Word of God says. I will open the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing that you cannot receive. So we trust God in this. This is His Word. And we give Him the first fruit of the tithe and the offering. And that's wonderful, but I want you to hear what comes next. This actually is my favorite part of this scripture. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. You know, the devil's getting into a lot of pockets of Christians and cutting holes. And there it goes. There it goes. But when God says, if you are a tither, you give the first of your increase, I myself will rebuke the devourer. That means that God is looking down when Satan tries to come to the person that is a tither and is faithful, consistent, and God says, you can't cut that pocket. You can't. And He rebukes him and says, get away from him. Get away from her. You cannot touch that. I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he will not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Is that a promise of God? Is it for us? It absolutely is for us. My concern is what's happening to the finances of God's people. It's disappearing because of things like this. Here's another part of that. What is keeping holes in believers' pockets by not being generous? Now, I will tell you that I can testify of this because as a young man, I've told you before, I gave God my tithe and I said, that's all you're getting, God. Nothing else. And I'm not helping anybody else. You know what they call that, Sheila? Stingy. And if you pride yourself, what is that thing about trying to squeeze something out of a penny or a nickel or whatever? What's that saying? Come on now. When someone is so stingy that they're trying to... Yeah. They're not going to give anybody else what they have. For the believer, you are cutting holes in your pocket when you are stingy. You listening to me? Church, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, a little quiet, John. And I know this because I used to be a bit stingy. Then I met Laura. And I praise God for it. Because she used to say to me, come on, get off your bucks. You know? Bless someone. Help them. Laura's a giver. How many of you know that? And I love and appreciate her because she has taught me how to be a giver. And it is so important, and it is scriptural. All right? Go with me now. Proverbs 22. I told you to hold back in there. Proverbs chapter 22 now. Verse 9. He that has a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Just one little verse there, but is it powerful? He that has a bountiful eye, that means that you are looking for ways to bless others. How many of us are looking for ways to bless others? Keep an eye out for it. Because you will be blessed when you do that. Instead of just looking for what will bless me. I want to just really give you an admonition here. Look for ways to bless others from here on out. Listen. That blessing that those people that were coming into the restaurant, listen for opportunities that God will give you to be a blessing to others. And God will pour out His blessings to you. I know He will. Aren't you glad that God keeps His word? Now what really causes, this is number three, what really causes the hole to open up wider in our pockets? We've got some individuals have just a tiny hole in their pocket, and some a little bit bigger, but there is this one thing that really causes it to open up wide, and I want us to pay attention to that. Again, we're in the book of Proverbs, and I want you to turn back. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. I want us to really understand what these scriptures are talking about. Again, I'll read that scripture wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. I want to look at one other scripture, a couple other scriptures, and we'll talk about this. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 16. He that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. One more scripture. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 8. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Now I want to put all these scriptures together. What is the proverb writer talking about here? If you really want a hole to increase in your pocket, do things that rip people off. And unfortunately, there are many Christians that are doing this, tipping the scales in their own favor to get more on their side, regardless of how it affects the other person. And what a horrible testimony that is when we do that. Unjust gain. Let's talk about this because we're coming up on a season in America that we all love. What is it? Not springtime. Tax time. Now, come on, how many of you can honestly say you love tax time? The believer in Jesus Christ is not to get their wealth by finding whatever loopholes and cheating on your taxes. Yeah, but Pastor, the more money I can get, the more I can bless others. Is it ever right to do wrong? It is not. Come on now, folks. The man or woman of integrity, of an upright heart, is who God loves. And if we are going to try to increase our own wealth by doing what is wrong, God will never bless that. And actually what happens is, Satan is now able to go and cut that pocket a little bit wider. You watch it. It will happen. Because God's Word said it will happen. Unjust gain. Report on your taxes what should be reported on your taxes. It's very important. Okay, so I get a tax receipt. And somehow or another, there has been a $10,000 donation that was accredited to your account. What do you do? Do you take it and say, wow, God's blessed me? That's unjust. God will never bless that. And if you receive that and turn that in, what's going to happen? Your pocket's going to get cut. I'm telling you, it will. There was a pastor, not going to tell you his name, but what this pastor was doing was going out to eat every Sunday after church, and then after they ate, of course everybody paid their own bill, he'd say, hey, would you give me your receipt? You give me your receipt, give me your receipt, give me your receipt, and turning all those receipts in as his business expense. What do you think's going to happen there? Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I can personally testify that the pockets were cut. Not just one. Both pockets were cut. God is faithful to his word. We cannot do that. Question number four. What attitude towards money will keep our pockets in good shape and never need mending? How many of you are interested in that? That your pockets would never get a hole and never need mending? Two people. Great. Okay. Anybody else? You wanted to stay in there, right? Let's say you're walking down the road. You got $150 in your pocket. And you get into the store and you reach in your pocket and it's not there. What's your first response? What, Philip?
That's the wrong pair of pants.
What'd your response be, Todd? Yeah. I mean, in other words, how many of us go, and you're doing this number in the store, you know? Or how many of you ever done this? You go into the store to buy something, you got a whole buggy full of stuff, you walk up to the cash register, and you don't have your wallet with you. Or purse. That never happened to you? Bless your heart. Okay? Happens to me all the time, Philip. I change the jacket or whatever, and I think it's in there. And that's always exciting, D, when you get up to the front there and they check you out. And then you say, you take PayPal? Yeah. Okay. God has ways to keep our pockets mended. And Proverbs chapter 30, just jump over there again. And it's our attitude towards God and towards what He has given to us. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7 through 9. And a lot of times people miss this, but I like to go back here. Two things I have required of you, talking to the Lord, the writer says, don't deny me them before I die. Number one. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Number two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. I want to pay particular attention here to the second one. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with that which is convenient for me. What should be the attitude of Christians? What? What God has given me is enough. And that's hard for some of us because we get an attitude we want more. And some people say, yeah, but if I have this attitude that I'm content with everything, then I probably won't get anything more. Well, that violates everything that the rest of the principles of God just said. When you honor the Lord with your substance, He adds to you. He gives. You can't outrun those blessings of God. You can't do it. So the idea here is to have the attitude, I am so thankful for what God has given me. And his prayer was, as this writer of this proverb, Lord, don't give me more than what I need, lest I turn around and say, well, who needs God? I got everything I need. And that happens to some believers. Or don't give me less that I've got to go begging and I curse God. But give me that which is convenient for me. Yeah, but I want what Pastor Aaron has. Or I want what Judy and Philip has. Or I want what Rick has. Or I want what Kim and Todd have. I want what you have. No. God, give me that which is convenient for me. Do you think God knows what you need?
Yes.
Better than me, right? And if He blesses you with it, your job is to honor the Lord with that. And He will continue to pour out. But there's so many people that say, I'm not satisfied. I want more. I want more. I want more, 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 more. But that's not the attitude of God. You want to keep your pockets mended? You want to keep stuff from falling out? Be content. Be content with such things as you have. Amen? Hebrews chapter 13 talks about that. We're going to pull out one in the New Testament here. Hebrews chapter 13, again, a great chapter. Take a look at that chapter through and through. But if you look at this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man will do to me. Who is my helper? Who's the one that gives me the power to get wealth? God does. God does. So therefore, be content with such things as you have. Stop complaining about what you don't have. I can remember years ago, starting in ministry, and you heard about my car that I've had. I had several of those. And I remember just getting on my face and praying. And I thought I was praying, but here's what I was doing. God, why don't I have a good car? Why don't I have what, you know, I see all these other evangelists and everything. I see what they're doing. And they have nice vehicles and they're driving around. Why don't I have that? What kind of a prayer was that? Crybaby prayer. Oh, I like that, Kath. We can preach a sermon on that one. A crybaby prayer. I love it. Okay? You know what God finally said to me? Stop your whining and your complaining and be content with what you have. I said, but God, he said, no, but. Be content with your Plymouth Champ. Be content with what you have. And I said, I don't get this, God. I just kept saying, I don't get it. No, I want more. I want more. I want more. And God said, go ahead, take another lap around Mount Sinai, you crybaby. Okay? Until I finally figured it out, be content. You know, when I was driving those cars around, I remember specifically one day the Lord spoke to me, and I was the guy that said, you know what, I don't believe in seat belts. I don't think they work. And so I didn't wear mine. Now, I was an evangelist, right? Okay. And the Lord spoke to me. One day I'm riding down the road and I said, God, why don't I have a car? He said, first of all, you're not content. Second of all, why would I give you a better car when you don't keep the laws for the car that you have? And I went, what? He said, and he talked to me, aren't you glad God talks to us this way? You know, he said, you see that seatbelt? You're not wearing it. And that's the law in this state. From that day on, Marty, put my seatbelt on. So, well, then I'll be content with what I have, God. I thank you and I bless you. And God, from that time on, began to make a provision. See, God's not going to make the provision until you do what you're supposed to do. Okay? And that's just as simple as it is. Be content with such things as you have. And don't worry, because God will bless it as you honor the Lord with that substance. I'm telling you. The last, maybe not so much a question, but the last one, stewardship. God's stewardship will keep holes, or good stewardship will keep holes out of your pockets. Good stewardship. And we've talked about several things today, but I want to end up with this one. What does stewardship mean? Accountability. All right? So, Marty gives me a table saw because I have need of a table saw. And he says, I have this. You can use this. Now, I take Marty's table saw and I put it on the back of my truck and I'm going down the road, but I don't have it tied in or anything, and I hit the gas and it falls out and gets all bent up and everything. And then I bring it back to Marty and say, thank you for letting me use this. Is that good stewardship? Not good stewardship at all. Okay? Same thing as God provides finances for His people, and then we turn around and we abuse those finances. God is not going to turn around and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He's just not going to do it. As a matter of fact, how apt is God to provide more for you when you can't take care of that which you have? Stewardship principles. First, understand that God gives it all. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, and I don't know if Charlotte's got that up there on the screen, but who is it that gives us the power to get wealth? God does. Remember the Lord your God. It is He that gives you the power to get wealth. So number one, we realize who it comes from. Number two, we have to use wisdom in spending. Some of you are saying, I wish you hadn't gotten to this point. Have you ever heard someone say it, or maybe you've said it before, there is something that's out there or whatever, and you say, I can't afford it. Anybody ever say that? I can't afford it. But yet there's other things that we buy. Or I can't tell you how often that people come to the church and say, I want you to give me money so I can pay for this, or I can pay for my utility bill, or I can pay for this, I can pay for that. But yet, they have the latest in the newest iPhone. It's incredible to me. Good stewardship? Absolutely not. So God has called His believers to use wisdom and good stewardship. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And I think this is important for us to learn as believers because it keeps the holes out of our pockets. Matthew chapter 25. Now most of us may recognize this. This is that whole thing about the talents. Okay? And Matthew chapter 25, verse 23. That's where we're going to start. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. These are the words of Jesus. He said, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over more. I'm going to add more to you. More responsibility because I know I can trust you with it. You go wasting the resources of God and not using wisdom on what God has called you for. You can't turn around and say, well, God, you didn't provide for me. Because He did provide, except you wasted it on things that should not have been spent on. Now, Pastor, you're getting kind of touchy here. I don't like this. Good stewardship means this. That we take what finances we have, we give God what's His first. Then we live on in our means for what is left. If you cannot live on what is left there, then you start reducing to where you can. And there are some churches, and I understand this personally, that they're giving to this ministry, giving to this ministry, give, because God wants us to give, but yet there wasn't any money to pay the bills at the church. That's not good stewardship. There has to be meat in the house of God. So there's a lot of people that have come down on myself as a leadership and say, well, you know, we need to give to this and we need to give to that. It's a great need. It's a good ministry. It's good this. Stewardship says we have to make sure we have what we need to run the church. Because if we don't have what we need to run the church, can you meet in the church? Can we have services in the church? How many of you would like to be in here right now with any heat in this building? How many of you would come? Maybe one or two. But I'm telling you, be a good steward. Be a good steward of what you have, and then God makes the increase. He said, you've been faithful in that. And this faithfulness is really important here that he's talking about. And here he comes, and this one comes, and then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there it's been. And his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew all this, but yet you still went and did that. You ought therefore to have put the money to the exchangers, and at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Listen to this. Take therefore that talent from him and give it to the other that has 10 talents. For unto every one that has shall be given, and he shall have what, church? Abundance. But from him that shall not have shall be taken away even that which he has. You know, that last verse talks about a hole in the pocket. Not being a good steward will cause the hole in the pocket. Be a good steward. Take care of that which needs to be taken care of. Then God provides additional which you are able to give away. Some people give away that which they don't have. They say, well, God wants me to be a giver. Yes, but we have to take the whole counsel of God's word. He does want us to be a giver. Then we have scriptures like this. He that doesn't provide for his own family is worse than what? An infidel, an unbeliever. So we have to use wisdom and providing and then let God bring the increase. So many organizations, especially in the church world, are out of order when it comes to those kinds of things. And then they spend, you know, one whole service begging the church congregation to give. Do we have to do that? No, we teach you the Word of God and do what God said. God will make the provision. Somebody say amen here.
Amen.
What a teaching, right? What a thing for us to get a hold of. And I want my pockets to be what? Full. I don't want the hole in the pocket. So that which God has provided just goes straight out. Let's make the Word of God this year into action. Amen?
Amen?
Let's look at one more scripture and then we're done. Back to the book of Proverbs again. We've been there, chapter 21. Let's sew up any holes in our pockets. Let's sew them up. Amen?
Amen.
Let's quit allowing the enemy to take what you have. God's already given us the ways that that'll happen. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. That has to do with stewardship, folks. The King James doesn't quite put it this way, but those that have good stewardship, God will bring plenty to them. Those that are hasty and just off the top of my head, oh, I like that, or I like that, or I like that, or I like that. what happens to those individuals? They end up wanting. I want to be the individual that has plenty. Why? So I can give. So I can help. I want our church to have plenty so that we can help. That which over and above, God has spoken to us through His Word today. And I think an instructional type of teaching for us to get a hold of and just live it. Just live the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
There's a hole in my pocket. But God wants to sew it up. I just changed the whole nursery thing, didn't I? Just like Humpty Dumpty. God wants to sew up the holes. Father, thank you so much for your word today. Thank you for the blessing of your word. And we'll glorify you, we'll magnify you, and we'll praise you for who you are. Lord, I'm going to ask that you would speak to us, each and every one of us, regarding stewardship, regarding finances, regarding everything that we are, God. We understand, God, that sometimes this can be an uncomfortable thing for us, but you have already proved yourself to be faithful. And I pray that you would help us to hold on to your faithfulness and to remember your faithfulness when it comes to finances. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.